What's up, guys? Art Eddie here for The Art of Fatherhood. Just a quick note, this is part one of my interview with Jeff Johns. We're going to be mostly focusing on the new show, Stargirl, a comic book that he created that was an inspiration for his sister who passed away a few years back. And we talk about the series. Full interview will be later here on The Art of Fatherhood, but because Stargirl comes out, want to do a quick bonus episode with Jeff Johns. This is a great family-friendly show. Whether you're into comic books or not, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. You can check the show out on the CW or the DC Universe app, which I highly recommend as well. So let's get into part one of my interview with Jeff Johns.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddie.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddie here for The Art of Fatherhood, and I'm very excited to have the one and only Jeff Johns on the line. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing really well, man. I'm such a big fan of your work. I'm a comic geek, and I love all the stuff you've done, especially like Green Lantern's Blackest Night, but I want to say congratulations first on the new show, Stargirl. That's going to be on the DC Universe app, and there's also CW Network. I got to check out the three first episodes. It's a series and a comic book series that you created back in 1999, and the main character, Courtney Whitmore, is inspired by your sister, who passed away, unfortunately, in 1996, but for those who might not know the backstory of Stargirl, want to get into this series, can you give a little background of Stargirl and the show, sir?
Sure, yeah. I've loved DC Comics and comic books in general for my entire life. And I was out in L.A. and I just moved here, and my sister unfortunately passed away in 1996, like you said. And, you know, a year later, I started thinking about a comic book idea and pitching to DC, who I met some editors, and pitching to DC a comic book idea. And I wanted to create a character that took her drive and optimism and kind of can-do-anything attitude, even if sometimes she messed up, and put it into, create a superhero. And I also love DC Comics' deep history, like the Golden Age. And there was a character team, way back when in the 40s called Star Spangled Kid and Stripesy. And the gag was, hey, look, back then, the kid's the lead and the adult's the sidekick. And it didn't last very long, and it faded to obscurity. But I just thought it was a fun idea to bring back and do a new version of. And I always loved legacy in DC Comics, and I wanted to see a female teen superhero have her own legacy and be the main character, not be, a spinoff or a sidekick, but be the main character and have a adult sidekick again in the form of now her stepfather. There was a family dynamic that I thought would be interesting to explore. And so I focused on this girl named Courtney. This is what the comic book is about. But this girl named Courtney, who lives in LA, and her mom gets remarried to this guy, Pat Dugan, who's a blue collar mechanic, down to earth, seems like a pretty good, normal, if not maybe even a little boring guy. They move from LA to Blue Valley, Nebraska, the small town of Nebraska. And when she's there, she discovers that her new stepfather is actually used to go by the name Stripesy and was the sidekick to this character, this superhero called Starman, who's Star Spangled Kid grown up. And she finds this cosmic staff in the show that Starman used, her stepfather's old partner used, and it works for her. And she ends up, taking it for a joyride and having fun and confronting the bullies, and all this craziness happens. And it's I can't wait for people to see it. And ultimately, she discovers that there's some evil in this town that's connected to some heroes of the past. And so it forces her stepfather, who discovers she's done this, to come out of retirement and once again be the sidekick to a kid, this time her stepdaughter. And what that allowed me to do in a comic book and subsequently in the series is really focus on a family dynamic. I wanted to create, like the comic book, a show that had a superhero show that was for families to watch, for co-viewing, for anyone could get into it. And it was about families with a family at the center, but a family that was brought together. And the main through line in the comic book and in the series is this relationship between, Courtney and her stepfather, Pat. So you've got this superhero team unlike any other that is a stepdaughter, stepfather. And that relationship and how it, is tested and grows and changes. And ultimately in the comic book, they bond in a real way. That was always the heart of the book and the heart of the idea. And I guess it's carried over into the show. It's something that I always thought was really special and wanted to see where it all goes. But all my favorite comics have always been heartbeat first and then the superhero second.
Oh, love it. Yeah, and I got to say, man, kudos, because watching the first three episodes, I was so excited to, you know, share it with my daughters, and, you know, they're going to watch it with me, of course. My wife is going to check it out, too. But, yeah, that family dynamic, the cast that you have for it is great. Of course, Breck Bassinger, who's playing Courtney Whitmore, the lead, and then Luke Wilson, who plays Pat Duke. I thought that was an excellent...
Perfect.
Yeah, because, like, I don't want to get... Like,
I know.
I don't want to ruin certain aspects, but just that dynamic, and there's certain things that Pat experienced when he was younger, and then now, you know, as a stepdad and all these things, it's just, it's fantastic. And again, like, you have this creative mind, you're such a creative person. And of course you want to pay respect to your sister by casting someone who will do everything that you feel that Stargirl embodies. Right. And I think that, to me, Breck does a fantastic job on that. And like I said, you've done great DC shows as well, like Titans, Arrow, Batwoman, The Flash, and all that. How'd you go about casting for this role? And when you met Breck, when she was kind of going through the auditioning, were you like, yep, she's the one? Like, how'd the casting go for her and some of the other actors for the show?
It was exactly that for Breck. Like, Richard Leah, who cast Shazam and It, he cast Stargirl, and he's an amazing talent at finding younger, newer actors, and this show has a lot of them. And finding someone to play Courtney Whitmore's Stargirl was a huge challenge, and we saw hundreds and hundreds of people. But when Breck came on board and read, she brought instantly it, like, the humor, the heart, the dramatic readings, everything she did in her audition was, I knew immediately when I saw her, that's her. Immediately. It was never a question, never, right when she came on board and stepped in front of us in the camera, and it was her. Like, it was perfect. And she's been as wonderful and as professional and as heroic as Stargirl is on set and off. She just is a great person to work with and set a fantastic tone for the entire cast, which includes also, like, the greats like Luke Wilson. Luke, I'd actually, since I wrote Stars and Stripes, always pictured Luke as Pat Dugan because of, I saw Bottle Rocket in 1996, and he was an amazing actor in that, and fun and grounded and real. And when I wrote the pilot, I just wrote it for him. Like, I'm writing this for Luke Wilson. And we sent the pilot to him, and he read it, and he liked it, and he sat down and had lunch and talked, and eventually he signed on board the series. It was amazing. He came to lunch with so many great ideas and fun ideas, and like Breck, he was unbelievable to work with and created a great environment for everybody. He is one of the best, you know, best guys I've ever met, and become a really good friend of mine. And then, you know, we have Amy Smart, who plays Barbara, Courtney's mother. You know, when Amy came in, she read with Luke, so we could see how they read together, and everybody in the room was like, oh my God, this is going to be great. And the moment she left, Luke looked at us, and we're like, what do you think? And, you know, like, she's amazing. So that was great. And so the fact that we have, you know, plus so many other talented actors, Neil Jackson, who plays Isaac Cole, and so many others in this, there's really a great camaraderie between everybody on set. And I couldn't have asked for a better cast. We got really extremely lucky. And Rich, you know, Rich is a big part of that, putting it together.
There is so many great, like you said, actors, and the way that, you know, Luke portrays Pat is fantastic, because I feel like he's very like the reluctant person to get back into this superhero game and all that other stuff. So spot on with that. And the villains are just done brilliantly, like their acting and their performance. And like, you think, like, as a team, again, I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen all these episodes, but it's definitely really well done. And I love the Easter eggs you put in the first three episodes. Like, this is not, I mean, for people to look out, but like when they were moving from, you know, LA to Nebraska, you know, Action Movers is very, you know, the font and all that stuff was very, you know, nod to like Superman and Action Comics and all that. I love that.
That's actually right from the comic books. Like, if you look in Stars and Stripes number one, that's what their moving truck is. That's because Star Spangled Kid and Stripes, he originally first appeared way back when in Action Comics number 40.
You heading this up, being the executive producer, you're going to put those things in there that are just fantastic. Again, I don't want you to spoil things, and it's hard to answer this question anyways, but will we get to see more of like Starman's background and some of the other heroes from the past in this season? Because like, I feel like the way you're doing it in the first three episodes was great, because you just, you know, you always want the audience wanting more, and the way that you guys have been scripting the shows and producing has been fantastic. But can you say that we'll see some of, you know, besides Starman's background, a little bit more about those heroes from back in the day, or no?
You'll absolutely hear and see a little bit more of the original JSA. Definitely they play their legacies play a presence and influence the ones who pick them up. And you absolutely will in a way. You know, one of the writers on staff and the producer on the show is James Robinson, who wrote Starman, and an amazingly talented writer, and loves the JSA as much as I do. And so we're constantly talking about, you know, the originals and what we have plans to show and reveal about them. And they are definitely a presence throughout the first season. And hopefully if we get to do more, we've got ideas to do even more with them. But I don't want to spoil it too much, but they're not just in the first episode. And, you know, you've seen episode 3, which has a lot of discussion about them as well, but they're a presence, even if they're not exactly on screen, they're a presence throughout the entire first season. And nice. It's what Courtney's fighting for, is to get justice for the original team. But we've got a lot of cool plans. Some that we definitely hint at in season 1, and some that you'll see. And then, you know, some surprises we have in store for, if hopefully, again, knock on wood, we get season 2.
I hope you do, sir, because like I said, this is such a great show. And again, this is a family-friendly show for people who, you know, are all comic geeks like myself. And you don't have to be a comic geek to enjoy the show, but just this makes it that even sweeter. So
I'll say this really quick, too. Like, the show was designed to be so people who like superheroes and are super hardcore DC fans, or people, or JSA fans, or people who've never heard of superheroes, just maybe they like Luke Wilson or Amy Smart, or, you know, or they're just looking for a show to watch with their family. When I grew up, there was like The Incredible Hulk and Greatest American Hero and all these crazy shows that we watched together. And both, you know, the kids and the adults would get something out of it and enjoy it. And this is very much the same kind of thing. It's, you know, it's a show meant for everybody. And because I think a lot of people can relate to that. And especially right now, I think it's, you know, it's great to see a show centered around family. So anybody, whether a superhero fan or not, this is a show you can check out.
Yeah, and again, I got one of the things that I found, especially like being in this, you know, world of like, you know, talking about parenting and fatherhood and all that stuff, but like I always look when I see these shows that deal with families and also high school or elementary school or college, whatever the case may be, and just, you know, talking to friends who have kids in high school. Like, my daughters aren't there just yet. One's in middle school and one's in elementary school. But, you know, we talk to other parents who have kids and what they're going through in high school and all that stuff. And I feel like you create that atmosphere where it's not like this stereotypical high school. There's a lot of things that the actors, the kid actors that are doing this, that are going to high school, I think is portrayed really well. And I got to commend you on that, because sometimes if you just put that in there as filler, or like, hey, we're just going to kind of put the stereotype things in there, you don't do that. And I think it's a great job of that. And I just kind of wanted to let you know that when I was watching that, I'm like, that's something I look out for, to see like how real this is. And I feel like you guys were kind of spot on with the pulse of like kids in high school.
Well, I think you're going to see even more of that in episodes 4 and even 5 and on, because we get deeper into the characters of the JSA and Courtney's classmates and what they deal with. Each one of these JSA members that she recruits, you know, is going through something and struggling with something, and whether, you know, becoming a recruit helps that or hurts that is, you know, we'll see. It was important for us to tap into the younger experience in high school today, because it is different and there are different pressures. And, you know, the fun thing about superheroes to me are those, the best stories are relatable and grounded, but they're heightened with these wonderful visuals and elements of the superhero world. They still touch us. We still care about them. And it's not just about the mask, but the people behind them.
100% agree, Jeff. Thanks very much. All right, so that was part one of my interview with Jeff Johns. Make sure you check out the entire interview coming up here on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And as always, thanks for checking out the show. Feel free to leave a review, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate it here at the Art of Fatherhood. And if you want more great content, make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.